BlogTalkRadio.com.
This show contains adult content and is brought to you by the letter H.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Eric Bischoff.
I'm Austin Aries.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTI Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Lock your doors, bolt your windows, and turn off the lights.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare, huh?
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
All right, I'll stay with you tonight. Just on the chance that you're right.
The Omega.
He's gonna get you.
Heartbreak Mike.
Michael.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Every Ken Padfield thinks his place is haunted.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network and on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Let's make more popcorn.
WTR Sunday Night.
Since when did it let them wander around?
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We are back on the air because we have another big show to talk about. Yep, this week coming up is WWE, the Saudi royal family owns our balls, otherwise known as Crown Jewel.
Ow.
So, well, in reality, since it's the Crown Jewel, wouldn't it be the penis, not the balls?
Well, no. Well, you're thinking family jewels, which is what we're talking about here.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about here.
Like, I wouldn't call it a crown. I wouldn't call the penis a crown jewel.
But it is the most important jewel.
It's the crown jewel in the family jewels.
It's a scepter, maybe.
The scepter. It's the trident.
Okay. If it's a trident, you need a doctor.
What would be so outrageous about having a Swiss Army penis?
There are sentences I never expected to hear on the show. That's up there.
Right up near the top.
Things I wish I had never heard.
You brought up balls, so this is all your fault.
Let us get on with it. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network. Joining me tonight, we have Heartbreak Mike.
What's going on, guys? Heartbreak Mike here. Forgive me if I'm not talking much, but I am in a little bit of pain. But you know what? It's good pain.
Normally have to pay for that.
Wow.
Well,
back
well,
to the penis and balls again. Jesus.
Oh, gosh. Well, if you don't have somebody that... You know what? Nope.
Mike, don't even go there. Nope.
You really want to go there,
don't.
Mike?
Don't feed it. Don't encourage it. Just don't.
Smile and wave.
And the one who somehow thought this combination of hosts would be a good idea. The one and only Tim Stein.
Now, don't lay that on me. I was desperate at the time.
Desperate for what? Never mind.
Shut up. Don't go there.
Let's not,
you know,
please.
It would be really good if you had a little, like a voice.
I've had no voice for like 5 days, you know.
It would be good if you had a voice beside you that acted as your conscience, that would sing out mistake every time you did something stupid.
So I should never hit the intro. Got it.
Mistake! You know, just saying.
Do the formal introduction, then I have an announcement to make.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. That's right. We're going to be previewing Family Jewels. Crown Jewel happening next Friday in Saudi Arabia.
Close
I probably
enough.
Mangled the name of the country, but yeah, in Saudi Arabia, Crown Jewel will be taking place, and we're going to be taking a look at the matches listed as of now. Card subject to change or be added to. Just remember that.
I don't expect any other matches to be added unless they add one pre-show match, but yeah, we'll get there.
Hey, why don't you hit us with a special announcement?
I am going to hit you with a special announcement. If you're watching at twitch.tv/WTLive, one, thank you. Number two, you should see at the bottom of your screen something called channel points, and you can earn those channel points just by listening to the show on twitch.tv/WTLive. Now, what those channel points can do will affect this show completely, because if you can gather up enough channel points, you can bring back the all-time greatest segment, and you can pick the topic. Just earn up all those points, cash them in, and you can bring back the all-time greatest.
Well, you know, we did have an all-time greatest idea to go with after the last one.
Yes, but now I'm putting it in the listeners' hands who listen to the show. They can pick the next topic.
But what if somebody like, I don't know, Team Chat wins and he picks the all-time greatest boob job?
It has to be wrestling related for this show.
Okay, the all-time greatest boob job on a female wrestler.
Stephanie McMahon.
Oh, I think I pissed him off. Don't forget, Team Chat's married with kids.
So, yeah, if you want to see the all-time greatest back, earn enough channel points, and you can help bring that segment back onto the show.
There you go. Yeah.
And it's free. You just earn them by listening. Just got to be at twitch.tv/WTRLive. Simple and easy. And at times at the below the chat on the chat box, there'll be a little gift box, give you bonus points just for listening to the show. We'll add more rewards as they come, as we can think of them. So there you go.
All right.
Interaction, Tim. We're promoting interaction.
Is it time to get interactive?
Oh dear.
I'm not even going to there. Have fun. Talk. Wrestling. Things.
Well, don't go anywhere because we're gonna come back to you in a little bit. But right now, before we actually get into it, I'm just gonna wish a very happy birthday to Tommy and to Blaine. They're listening tonight. And it's their birthday! So a happy birthday to Tommy and happy birthday to Blaine from me, Omega.
Hey, happy birthday.
And Mike.
Woot, woot, woot. Happy birthday to ya.
And even though he doesn't celebrate anything that has anything to do with cake, our producer, Sir Rocket. Rock, I told you not to go anywhere.
I muted my mic. Happy birthday.
There you go.
I legit have no more voice, so I'm trying to save it. So, yeah.
Okay, there we are. That being said.
Yeah, I've been sick for 5 days. I have no voice. So let's go with that.
Yeah. Always an excuse. I don't know. I think you're just, pulling a heel on us.
He's doing the Chris Jericho return heel.
Yeah, the return heel thing. Of course.
I could go buy a ticket to this show, but I don't need to. I'm part of this cast. I can just show up when I want. I don't need a ticket. Unlike Chris Jericho.
Unlike Chris Jericho. What? Taking shots. Anyway, your heel turn sucks compared to Bailey's. Isn't that right, Mike?
Hold on. Before Mike answers, that was the worst segue of all segues.
No. I've done worse, and I will do worse even. But right now, we're just putting that right there.
If you want to do the all-time greatest worst Tim Stein segues, earn your chat points.
There's too many of them.
All-time greatest takes long enough as it is.
There
need a 512 bracket.
there are not enough days in the year to list the all-time greatest Tim Stein worst segues. It's true. So there. Mike?
Yeah.
That's... Bailey's bad guy.
Yes, Bailey is indeed a, she's a heel, and I like how it's going.
Haircut.
Yes, she looks like your Aunt Pam, but
she came out with a new Bob haircut like she needed to see the manager.
That's Barbara. It's Pam or Barbara. Excuse me, can I see the manager, please?
And why is it Pam or Barbara?
It's a Kathy. All the time. Tiffany.
It's a Tiffany. Oh my God, this is so not what I wanted. Can I talk to the manager, please?
Yeah, with a minivan and three kids. But yeah, I mean.
So underwhelming.
Well, yeah.
But not Bailey's heel turn. Continue.
But Bailey, you know, and I hate to say it, it's about time. Bailey's a heel. This magnitude, it's like, oh wow. And the moment she, no pun intended, axed her float inflatable friends, it was crazy. And she made kids cry. And I was just like, I'm sorry, I gave a standing ovation. The moment that happened, I gave a standing ovation. I stood up and applauded her because that was a thing. I was like, if you're going to do it correctly. And she did.
Bailey turning heel, Omega. Why is this such a good thing? Why is this something we should even talk about?
I mean, have you seen her? Like, so for starters, it's been a surprisingly just kind of slow, natural heel turn.
Yeah.
Cause we saw her going about where it was just about, I'm still me. I'm just staying loyal to Sasha. So she was still coming out with the Bailey buddy. She was still coming out to the old music and doing the poses and all that. Cause like, I'm still me. I'm just being loyal. That's being a good role model for your kids. Okay. That's an interesting angle to take it, but you know, you're still doing the same thing. And then when it's not quite good enough, you know, when still be like that doesn't get the job done. Okay. Time to completely embrace the dark side. So there's been build up to it. There's been a gradual development toward this dark side Bailey, and it has been fantastic to watch.
Somewhat organic, basically, is what you're alluding to.
Yeah, I guess that's the word for it.
It feels more real as a heel turn than we've seen other heel turns. You know, you get some guy coming out and saying, to all the cheers and everything, he's coming out to his virtual music, then gets up like he cuts a heel promo. Says, oh, you guys are always against me, and I don't like you anymore, so I'm gonna do it for me, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, here's what I love. I love that there's some subtlety to it. Because there are some major things, like, aside from just like, it's not just like, okay, well, I hate the fans now, out of nowhere. There's little things to it, like when she axed the Bailey buddies.
Yep.
Like, I know so many people who were hoping she would do that the second she turned heel.
Yep.
Like, that wasn't like an axe. That was like an axe handle that she drilled knives into. Like, that is a tool designed specifically for murdering Bailey buddies. Like, she brought her custom weaponry for that job.
The little touches. It's the little touches. Things.
The big thing for me was the haircut. Like, not just because, she dyed her hair black and she cut it short. No, she cut the dusty ponytail. She cut the ponytail Dusty gave her as her signature look.
Yep.
That has significance. That's way more than Sasha, hey, my hair's actually blue. Okay. Are you just like a heroic character when you're purple? Like, I don't know what that reveal was about.
But the chopping the ponytail is symbolic as much as anything else.
Yeah.
And I like the new haircut.
Oh no, it's a good look.
Yeah, it really is.
She looks a lot more serious now.
But the thing about this heel turn going further, what it does
is progress the character. Bailey, you know, like you could subtitle this, Bailey grows up.
Oh yeah.
Which sounds like some kind of, tweener, pulp novel, but yeah, it's, they're allowing the character to mature. And instead of being like a 10-year-old type idea where she's all bouncing and dancing with the Bailey buddies, all of a sudden now she's a teenager.
Yeah, she's in a rebel phase.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, as much as we may have been, a little bit hosed or cheesed or whatever, at the pay-per-view, like a few millennia ago now, when we were last on, where Charlotte wins the title for the 75th time, tying her father's record or whatever. Having her come out the next TV taping with that different look, the different music, the assassination of the wild, wacky, inflatable, waving tube dudes, and winning the title back.
The weirdest thing in all of that, it's like I'm seeing Bailey use heel tactics. I'm seeing her cheat. She's got her feet up on the ropes and all this, and like, you know, like imagine this. You look at the character that Bailey has portrayed for so long. Yeah, it was definitely time for her to drop that and grow up and do something new. I love, like, the first time she gets on the microphone, she curses. It's like, and because she's been such this innocent, happy character, because she's never used any kind of, like, profanity, that took everyone by surprise.
Yeah, it did indeed.
Like, imagine if John Cena did that for a heel turn. Called the crowd bitches.
Well, that was something that people were screaming for John to do for a few years before he became a super part-timer.
Yeah, well, yeah, but that was the idea. It's like, oh, the Boy Scout or the Girl Scout in this case has a potty mouth now.
Yep.
I know. I love it. I love the end. Oh, God, like she has this grand entrance music that has notes of like, I don't know, there's almost like a few like Stone Cold's old music notes to it. Like there's a level of badass to her new theme, and I'm looking forward to her coming out and as a, in her first entrance for a match with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, anyway, as far as that goes, we've seen good heel turns, we've seen real duds. This ranks, in my opinion, right up there with, you know, among the best.
In recent years, yeah, especially.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Mike, any further, comments?
Well, okay. So this is why I'm liking the heel Bailey.
Oh, please tell me.
With the heel Sasha, when you look at it, those two are exactly like high schoolers. And they're now the high school bullies. It's like Sasha's put her under the wing of, oh yes, I'm tired. You know, I know you're tired of being bullied and whatnot. So guess what? You can hang out with me and I'll show you how it means to be a bad girl. And so what happened, she just got to get the hair fixed. But I love those two, you know, together again.
WWE's version of Mean Girls.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Where is this going to lead? Well, of course, a lot of other opportunities and what have you, but what's going to happen afterwards is going to be beyond me. So we got to see. We got to see. I'm excited.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy that they finally let somebody's character advance that other people had thought was, you know, pretty much past time to do so.
It's the kind of like character shift we keep wanting WWE to have the guts to do more often.
Truth.
It's like,
but the problem is you gotta be careful with that because you don't want to do it too much and then it becomes stale.
Yeah, but we do have advantages to this because like with Bailey, she's been doing it for so long. Like that's absolutely the right time. It's the right one to do it with.
Yep.
You know, and also like she herself has been just dying to do something different.
Well, you can tell when a wrestler is fully embracing their new character as opposed to, well, you're going to be this is what you're going to do now. It's like, well, all right. No, yeah, basically I'm just backing up what you're saying. So she's into it and you can tell, which is a good thing, but
oh hey, yeah.
Yeah. How do you feel about royalty, Omega?
Well, let's see. I'm not a big fan of UK politics. You know, the Queen's okay. Kind of just a figurehead. And...
Let me clarify this a little bit. Royalty when it comes to professional wrestling. Royalty. No, I'm not talking McMahon's or the Hart Dynasty or the Von Erichs or the Flairs.
No. There is Lawler, and then every other king is phony.
Yeah, you see, I'm talking about the Prince. No, not Purple Ring.
Prince Ikea?
No, not Prince Ikea. Thank you for the Wayback Machine. Prince Devitt.
Oh, him.
Yeah, Finn Balor's heel turn. I know, Mike really wants to talk about this. So you go first, Omega. You got 5 minutes to bring up every issue Mike was going to talk about.
We're just all about these, like, out of nowhere heel turns for, cause there's part of me that's like, okay, Finn ending him back in NXT, great because that's where he's booked the best, but bad because it means we're never going to get, it's going to be a long time before we get Fiend versus Demon like we wanted.
Yeah, and I've got comments about that coming up in a little bit,
but again, like Finn is one of those characters where I don't know why he went off the rails the way he did. Cause, you know, for a while, yeah, he was a serious contender. And if you pissed him off or pushed him too far, oh, did you pay for it?
Yeah.
But at some point, his gimmick just became smiling really big and just being very like, he looked like he was just like very happy to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is not interesting. It doesn't make for a tough competitor as far as wrestling goes.
It gets stale.
Well, there's nothing to it. Like there was no character to Finn Balor himself. There was just the guy who turns into the demon once in a while. Now he'd come down in a LGBT support shirt, smiling real big, and that's about all he would do.
Yeah. However, now back in NXT, reverting to an incarnation of a previous persona, it opens him up, doesn't it?
It does, which is weird. Like going backwards opens him up to new possibility.
Which is, yeah, that's kind of weird and stuff. But I know that Mike is champing at the bit here. So, Mike.
Woo! All right. So, first of all, the greatest thing about this that's happened was that nobody expected it. That is literally what I loved. The fact that everyone jaw dropped and was like, what? For real? And like, as a wrestling fan aspect, me, the moment when he hit the kick on Gargano, I literally like, my mouth, you know what? Mm-mm. I was in shock and awe because this people have been waiting for a heel Finn. And the funny thing about it is, and if you haven't seen it, you need to see it. Finn works better as a heel. Finn works better as a heel. How do you know this, Mike? Well, I'll tell you. If you watch most of his old tapes in New Japan Pro Wrestling and anywhere else, yeah. There's a certain place and a certain club that he was in, and it happened. Look up that. Now, it leaves a lot of open things. Is he joining the Undisputed Era? Or if he is he going to lead the Undisputed Era? How is this going to play? How is this going to happen? There's a lot of open possibilities. We do know it's going to be Gargano versus Finn.
Mm-hmm.
That match is going to be amazing. But what is about to happen as far as where they're going to put Finn?
Well, I bring up down the road. Don't forget he was the original leader of the Bullet Club.
You are correct.
He is. It is a hard fact to forget.
Very hard back to forget. Now, at some point in time, he's going to get back to the main roster. How would you not love seeing a contest for the leadership of the current Bullet Club?
I mean, it's called the OC, so why doesn't it have the original leader?
Bingo.
I mean, if they want, if they're ready to, you know, if they get to the point where they're ready to turn AJ face again, then I could absolutely see, Gallows and Anderson ousting him in exchange for their original running buddy.
I can see Balor and AJ squaring off at a pay-per-view for the leadership. Now, here's the swerve. Gallows and Anderson are at ringside, neutral observers, just watching who's going to be in charge. The swerve is they wind up backing Finn and doing something to cause AJ to lose when the ref's back is turned.
Yeah.
Yeah, as far as Finn versus Bray, everybody wanted to see the Beast versus the Fiend. I did. At one point in time. I really don't give a shit now, especially after that last pay-per-view, Hell in a Cell. I want to talk about that really quickly in just a little bit. With Balor's heel turn, bringing back Prince Devitt, and this possibility of a confrontation between him and AJ, shut up and take my money. Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And mean it. I always have to clarify that because I get people saying, okay, you're wrong, but they don't mean it.
So now that he's a heel, imagine if he comes out as an angel at the serious matches.
As opposed to the demon. That'd be different.
Yeah, he's just gonna rapture your ass.
Have him come out dressed as Gabriel, the avenging angel. I think that's what it is, isn't it? I don't know Christianity.
We can pull some biblical shit out of this. Like, please, oh, he's not coming down as an angel with a harmonic music. Fuck, he's got a flaming sword.
No, not the. Like, he's got a flaming sword. Stop it.
It's just the image of Finn dressed all in white heading to the ring. You thought it was bright lights whenever Sheamus came out. You would have to have nuclear weapons capable sunglasses.
All right, Finn Balor is about to make his entrance as the angel. Everyone get out their eclipse viewing boxes.
Not eclipse.
You can only look at the shadow through a pinpoint.
Everybody with all of these little tiny cardboard boxes over their heads.
Jesus.
I remember being a little kid in school and doing that as a project so we could watch the eclipse in the middle of the school year. And we were graded on our eclipse boxes. If we didn't go blind, we got an A.
If we didn't go blind, nope.
What's the math?
If you didn't go blind, you passed. Okay.
Exactly.
And then if you didn't pass, you never found out because you couldn't read the grade on the paper.
It would have to be read to you and, who knows, maybe somebody lied to you just to make you feel better.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
No, Billy, trust me. You got an A. Don't worry about it. Here, for your good grades, we got you this cane.
Oh look, it's a seeing eye dog.
Not a seeing eye dog. Jeez Louise.
Yeah, we got you a puppy, Billy. We got you a puppy. Here, this is a special leash. It's like a handle.
Oh jeez. We're horrible people.
Oh.
Are we?
We're the worst, but.
Well, hey. You're abstaining from this. Me.
I am politically incorrect and damn proud of it.
Sometimes my humor's just fucked up.
I don't hold back on something that's funny, okay? The comedian's job is to walk right up to that line, look at it, and wonder what will happen if I cross that line, and then cross that line.
Mm.
Ask George Carlin.
Touche.
George Carlin, just in case you guys don't know, probably the all-time favorite comedian of his genre, not just for me, Omega,
mm-hmm.
but for you too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then again, I also like Stephen Wright, so there's, you know, there's that that balances it out.
Oh, Stephen Wright's good too. It's just a very different style of humor.
Yeah.
Hugely different.
Oh yeah. You know, like I love George's stuff, but I also like Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah. I enjoyed Mitch Hedberg. I'm pissed off with Mitch Hedberg, but.
I'm pissed off that he died, but, cause, like, I could have done with, like, you know, another 20, 30 years of his humor.
This is absolutely truth. But Stephen Wright, just absolutely timeless stupidity, and it made you think, and it was like, you get that look on your face, came home drunk one night and accidentally put my car key in my apartment door. Didn't unlock it, but it started it up real nice. So I drove it around the block. Got pulled over by a cop. He says, where do you live? And I says, right here. Shit like that's funny. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm just getting the feeling, Mike, you've never really heard a lot of Stephen Wright.
Nope.
You have to, dude.
Last night we played poker with tarot cards. I got a full house and four people died.
What kind of Miss Cleo Bush?
Okay.
I got a full house, four people died. I remember being a little kid and my grandma said, come over here. I said, what do you mean? She said, you're over there. Come over here. So I went over there. Then I was here. She said, here's $5. Don't tell your mom where you got it. I said, it'll cost you more than that.
Oh, no.
And I don't care what you say. That shit's still funny. Anyway, there's all of that. So yeah. I said I was going to bring up why I couldn't care less about the Fiend versus the Demon anymore.
Monday Night Raw's booking.
Yeah.
Raw's booking, period. What they've done with the Fiend's character, period. Nobody knows how to book Bray Wyatt properly. They're all like, well, how are we going to make him like some indestructible blah, blah, blah. What they did to really fuck up his character was, sure, he took the beating of a lifetime from Seth at Hell in a Cell. He didn't win the title. He should have won the title after taking that beating and coming back like Jason takes Manhattan.
Well, it made no sense because he could
Seth down.
All of that he could kick out of two, but he couldn't just get up for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
If he gets pinned, oh yeah, he'll kick out at one, but you know, in between attempts, you're just gonna lay here and take a nap.
They really fucked up Bray's character again.
Yeah, well, and here, oh, Seth can just run into the Firefly Funhouse whenever he wants. So, like, let's lose all the mysticism behind it. It's just a set backstage. Oh, and by the way, while we are at it, aside from just making Seth look terrible at Hell in a Cell, we also did this at Raw where he went looking for the Fiend. Cause we went from Seth Rollins is scared shitless of Bray Wyatt to, you know, which worked to, he's just going to hunt him down. And when he gets there, he punches Bray. Bray gets up and he starts crying. Like, why are you doing this? Why? Like scared and confused because that Bray Wyatt doesn't know what the Fiend does. That's how a split personality works. So your universal champion, your head star of Raw, who isn't Becky Lynch.
She is
a head star. No. She is a head star of Raw. She's a head star of the wrestling industry right now.
Well, yeah.
Yo. That means your top male performer on Raw is beating up a mentally handicapped person.
And his name's not Eugene.
A psych, you know, like a psych who should be in like serious psychological counseling.
Yep.
You're beating up a mentally ill man who is pleading for mercy. And that's the look. That's the look of your top star.
Yeah, but here's the other thing about that. Seth burnt down the funhouse.
I mean, it got better.
What? Does anybody have any idea why that infuriates me? Mike, you want to take a guess?
I don't know.
You'll go, oh, holy shit, right, as soon as I tell you. Omega, you want to take a guess? You want to stab at it?
You know, I've got my own reasons why it pisses me off. Go ahead. Just let me know.
Okay, well now I'm going to wait. And what's your reasons?
Because before you did that, before you kind of broke the illusion of the Firefly Funhouse, you had a mysticism and a mystery to Bray. Is this happening just in his head, or is this an actual thing?
Exactly. You were in my brain.
So you ruined the magic. You ruined the magic.
The whole thing that pissed me off about it was they made it real and not his imagination. And if you remember when they first debuted the new Bray Wyatt with the funhouse, I said I wasn't a fan of it. Mm. This is why I wasn't a fan of it. You guys were all like, oh no, it's going to be great. It's fantastic. This is awesome. It's, you know, you're all for it. Right up until they made it real, a real setting, a real stage. As opposed to a figment of Bray's imagination. And this is the reason why I was against it.
Mm-hmm.
Both of you and our producer Rock were continually telling me, oh no, this is fantastic. Just pay attention. So I started getting into it, and then I started saying, okay, if they do this right, I can get behind it. It's going to take me a while because I have to see it. What they're doing, but I'll keep my mind open. And then they pull this shit, and that's why I pissed off Omega.
It's a thing where they're doing something good, but it's WWE, so you know they're going to fuck it up.
Of course they are.
But that's the thing. We put faith in this because, oh, this is all coming out of Bray's head. Like, everyone is saying Bray is the mastermind, the genius behind this. And everything Bray contributed was fantastic. But long term, you knew WWE isn't going to have an idea of how to properly move this forward. So they're just going to do the same old shit they always do with pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we have in the past bitched about Hollywood writers, but in this case, this could have used a little Stephen King.
Could have used less Vince is what it could have been. This, like, it screamed of, like, this is what we've always done.
Yeah.
You know, this is the kind of stuff that worked. This went over great in the 80s. Why doesn't it work now?
Yeah, because the 80s called and said they're sick of that too. But Mike, do you understand now why? When I said once I tell you why I'm pissed off, you're going to go, oh wow.
Yeah.
Jeez. That's just not something you even thought about, is it?
It's not.
Yeah. See, Omega did. But then again, Omega and I have been doing shit together since like 2000, early.
Yeah.
And we do a lot of the time think along the same line about storylines.
So it's a little scary at this point, yes.
It can get that way, yeah. But there's a reason why you hear us say get out of my head without elaborating.
Imagine if less than a year into his run, you explained how The Undertaker could sit up after taking so much punishment. Or like a year after his like re-debut, you explained where all of the like the lightning bolts came from and the coming back from the dead came from.
You just killed the character.
Yeah.
You just killed The Undertaker. And when we first started yapping about this, I brought up Jason Takes Manhattan. Now, if, Omega, you've seen the original Friday the 13th, right?
Uh-huh.
And then did you see part two?
can't remember.
Okay, well, here's what went from really good to like what the fuck to wow to oh shit, Jason Takes Manhattan. the progression of that from the first movie to the second movie. At the very end of the first movie, spoilers, kids, movie spoiler. Never mind that the movie came out in 1979. At the very end of the first movie, Jason jumps out of the lake after he's supposedly dead and grabs the girl in the boat. And that's where the movie ends, and it freezes on that. And you're like, did that really happen, or is she imagining it? Is this a nightmare she's having?
Oh, guess what? They did the same thing at the end of Nightmare on Elm Street.
That, I was gonna bring that up too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, here we go again. So, yeah.
And that
yeah,
led Freddy, into the yeah. sequel, but here's the thing. They didn't, in the sequel, they didn't tell you what was, you know, if it was just a nightmare that the main character had at the end of the movie. They launched right into the next story. Right? And that was basically like that storytelling, that's Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Takes Manhattan, leading up to Jason Takes Manhattan, and then Jason in Outer Space. I don't know if you've seen that, Jason 2000 or whatever it was.
Jason X.
Yeah, that's it.
Dumbest shit.
Ever. That's the Bray Wyatt character. That's the Fiend. Because Jason X, they actually waste 20 minutes of that movie explaining how he winds up in outer space as a hybrid cyborg.
Well, that's what happens is, guess what? But you remember how cool Wolverine used to be in the Marvel comics?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Okay. They decided to tell his origin story. And you know how interesting he is now? Yeah. Yeah, he lost a lot of mystique.
Well, here's the thing. They did two individual origin story movies. The first one absolutely completely fucked up the character completely. But the second one, the apology to the fans is what I call that one. Where, you know, he survives the nuclear bomb and then he goes back to Japan because all of that stuff. That was a great, that was a really good movie. But as far as Wolverine goes, all you need to know is that, he's got knives coming out of his knuckles and he's from Canada.
Yeah, get the Canada part in there.
Yeah, he's Canadian.
Doesn't apologize for anything either.
There you go. Yeah. So.
But no, like, Mystique is so important to a character no matter what realm it's in. You know, if you have this mysterious force behind them, whether it's, you know, a split personality that's invincible like the Fiend or, you know, or like what really did happen to, you know, Wolverine or, you know, why the hell is the Joker the way he is, which they still have never explained in the comics despite what the movie is currently doing.
Yeah. Oh, we've got a comment from Anubis Ash. The Wolverine is not an origin story. Yeah, one of the movies was an origin story. It was the bad movie where they took Deadpool and stitched his mouth shut.
Don't
played by
remind us.
Played by
Ryan
Reynolds.
A very disappointed Ryan Reynolds.
Very disappointed, disappointing. And I love the end of Deadpool. You're welcome, Canada.
Well, and the Deadpool too. He goes and shoots his former self in the head, so.
Yeah. Didn't he shoot Wolverine too?
Oh, he didn't shoot Wolverine.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No, that's right. He shoots his other self in the head and he says, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Shoot Wolverine.
Yeah. 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 He shoots bad Deadpool in the head. And then he goes and shoots Ryan Reynolds in the head while he's reading the Green Lantern script.
And then he says, what did he say at that one? I can't remember.
Can't remember it. I can't remember that one either.
But it just.
I remember watching it. I didn't see it in the theater. I watched the DVD recently with the extra scene there, time travel scene at the end where he's standing there with a gun in the maternity ward staring at baby Hitler.
Baby Hitler. Yep.
He's just toiling over it.
Oh, Christ, that was hilarious.
See how disappointed we are in the wrestling product right now?
We are talking Marvel movies.
It's just cute. Yeah, like we're bringing up example, and then we're just running off on tangents because it's more interesting to talk about.
Well, here's the thing. I'm sticking with Ryan Reynolds for just a second here. Look at all of the shit movies that he was in that he was either a big part of or the main star. Green Lantern. Okay. He's in so many box office bombs, so many bad movies. How the hell did the studios keep going back to him?
Pretty face?
He was the best part of every single one of those bad movies until they sewed his lips shut in the Wolverine. Or Wolverine. Not the Wolverine, but Wolverine.
X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah, X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Which I love that title implied that there was going to be other Origins movies, but it tanked so bad they scrapped every one of them.
Yeah, well, every one of them was supposed to have an origin story until that one came up.
Well, we were supposed to. Well, the next one was at Magneto. They were going to do Origins Magneto.
Yep.
And then no.
So are you kidding? Look what how you guys fucked up this movie. We're not going to give you $150 million to fuck up another one. No.
Yeah. The other one involves the Holocaust. We're not going to let you touch that now.
Yep. Lord knows how bad you'll fuck that up. But stop thinking about it. How much worse would Green Lantern have been if somebody else was cast as the lead instead of Reynolds?
I don't want to think about Green Lantern being worse.
I'm sorry. It would have been. I apologize for saying this, but here it is. I can actually go back and watch most of Green Lantern over again just because of the improv that Ryan Reynolds throws out there.
You know, once upon a time, we were a wrestling show.
And now that Mike is back, we can get back to wrestling. Okay, everybody, just so you know, Mike had to disappear for a minute. So, Omega and I were stalling, and we can do this. We can talk back and forth about, like Marvel or, what else have we talked about?
Oh, jeez. George Carlin comedians and
video games, stand-up comedians,
Star Trek,
yeah, well.
Oh,
yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah, don't get me started on Star Trek.
Okay, I won't.
Yeah. Omega could tell you why. Don't get me started on Star Trek. You don't have that much time in your day.
You're right. You are absolutely correct.
There you go. So now that you're back, no more stalling is necessary. I know for a fact that you want to talk about your buddy Xavier.
Which buddies?
Your buddy Xavier.
Yeah.
Mr. Woods.
Out for a whole year. Jesus.
It could be as much as low as 6 months.
Yeah, but that depends on if how dedicated he's going to be.
And how responsive the Achilles is. Everybody, in case you didn't know, Xavier Woods tore his Achilles tendon in Australia at the WWE event there. That was when? Last Saturday?
Yeah.
A week ago.
Yeah, on the house show.
Yeah. And that caused Big E to have to finish the tag match on his own because they carted him off. And it didn't look anything too dramatic. I mean, he got Iris whipped into the turnbuckle. Came off the turnbuckle and basically dropped like he was shot.
It's how it happens sometimes. You know, yeah. Some freak accident. You know, was earlier this year or sometime last year, we had someone die taking a 619.
Yep.
From a basic drop kick.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy.
Freak accidents happen, unfortunately. You're saying it could be a whole year. Achilles tendons are notoriously
notoriously slow to heal. And you've got a whole bunch of rehabbing that you have to force yourself through, and it hurts.
Yeah.
And this is why it was brought up. It depends on his dedication to rehab. And go.
Gosh.
You're not sure where to start, are you, Mike?
I don't, because...
Okay, look at the long-term impact of Xavier Woods' injury on the New Day.
I mean, no. That's not even what I mean. Like, okay. The list can go on and on and on and on and on. Not to mention, Xavier Woods, not just the New Day itself, but he has a... his whole YouTube channel, up, up, down, down. And then... Yeah. You know, he's going to have to put a hold on a lot of stuff for Up, Up, Down, Down, which means he's not going to be able to attend conventions. He's not going to be able to attend, gaming events. And yes, the New Day especially, but also he has to remember it's not even just, you know, stuff in the WWE, you know, him, he was a representative outside because up, he was doing Up, Up, Down, Down, and then WWE helped him out. It was kind of like in a mutual agreement. Yep. So with that to be, you know, that has to be shelved for a while. Kind of crazy. So, yes, you know, things do happen, but for him to have, for this to happen in this magnitude, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is not his only injury. Thank God he's not, you know, injury prone, accident prone or whatnot.
You know, other injuries you can work through and right. You can work around. Not this one.
No, not this one. This one, you have to be like, all right, well, looks like I'm going to have to take a timeout, guys. So, yeah.
So, yeah, not much to talk about, really. I can see New Day basically rotating substitutions for the next year.
Yeah.
I mean, they've done it before. So, but, I don't know, if there's anything else you want to talk about it, because, we kind of sort of covered that.
We did. I mean, get well soon, Xavier Woods, you know, knowing him, he'll probably give us updates on his progress on, you know, his surgery and stuff like that, because, you know, well, he can't. Yeah.
Keep going. I'll wait.
Because, you know, he can't stay in the dark that long. No pun intended, but yes.
Yeah. Here's what you do. Here's what you do is you follow him on Twitter.
Well, yeah. Follow him on Twitter. Follow him on YouTube.
At Austin Creed.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But that being said, we're going to take
I don't have a single thought about it.
Hold on. One, it's at Xavier Woods, PhD. It's not at Austin Creed.
Oh, okay. Austin Creed at Xavier Woods,
PhD. And Omega, what are your thoughts?
Also, we're not going to break yet because Omega has a whole lot that he wants to talk about with Xavier.
Thank you.
Sorry. My apologies.
Jeez, producer got ahead of me. Just everyone's skipping me.
And so when we come back.
You're not supposed to be talking.
Omega, final thoughts.
It's a terrible loss because I'm huge on Xavier. Like, there's so much upside to Xavier Woods in the WWE because he's a young guy. He's good in the ring. He's probably the best they have on a microphone right now.
Yeah.
He's in touch. He's got an actual PhD. He is really on point when it comes to what their key demographic is into these days. Like, he's literally everything you need in someone you would focus a company on. If he hadn't been stuck in the New Day thing, and, you know, who knows, like, I feel like if the New Day hadn't succeeded, he probably would have gotten forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
So this has me really worried, because there's so much good in Xavier as a performer. As someone you could book as this, because he should be like the best role model they have. Because the guy is a geek, but he also has an actual PhD hanging on his wall. Mm-hmm. That's pretty freaking good.
He is Dr. Austin Creed.
Yeah, and a successful YouTube channel. So yep. Like he's kind of nailing it, you know, crossed everything.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah. It's trouble for the New Day, because I don't know if they're going to run two-man for a year, up to a year. I worry that between Kofi working as the world champion for a while, and with Xavier being out, I kind of worry this is the end of the New Day.
Yeah.
Kind of worry it's going to get in their head to split them off and let them do their own thing for a while.
God, I hope not.
And yeah,
that'll kill Big E.
Well, like I said, I'm more worried about Xavier getting forgotten about or just completely overlooked if he's running solo.
You know, I got a funny feeling that that won't happen. The fans won't let that happen, because when he finally does come back, I can just see the roof blowing off whatever arena it's going to be. I think that his fan base, it's an underrated type of amount of demographic, right?
Yeah.
And I think that WWE would be somewhat foolish to discount it. It was like when they first signed Rob Van Dam. He says, hey, look, I got a huge fan base, and when I go up there, there's going to be a massive pop. And everybody in WWE is like, yeah, right, whatever. You've never been here before. You don't know what you're talking about. And what happened the first time he walked out? Kaboom. And I'm just thinking something similar might happen when Xavier finally returns.
Yeah, I can only hope so.
Yeah. But that being said, I think we should take our first, last, and only time out of the evening. What say you?
Yeah, now I'm good.
Okay, that's all that matters. Everybody, you're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Get out your thinking caps and your magic eight balls and whatever else you do to make predictions, because WTR Pick'em kicks off the second half of our show with Crown Jewel. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back shortly.
If you're seeing things running through your head, who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
An invisible man sleeping in your bed. Who you gonna call?
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Event.
CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in me. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, you're going to put something on that list. Why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show. Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Eddie might have himself some cig. I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. 8 fucking lanes. 8 motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of me retired. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking.
Fucking 8 lanes, the motherfucking highway!
Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking 3 lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7.
Fuck, you fucking better be open.
I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway.
They're not open. What the fuck?
Are you sure you're not open?
Can I get a pack of Camel Light?
Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. That's some biz. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Steve,
somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarettes and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... About to defiled by fucking 3 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Thursday nights, it is the experience known as the Rack.
Hey, we love to say boobs.
Let me check.
I don't know. In the truck, can we say boobs?
We need to get a check.
Hey, Sue.
We need to get a check on boobs.
We need a check on boobs. Please, can you say boobs?
We have boobs. A thumbs up on boobs or a thumb down.
Boobs are okay.
Any standards and practices people hear? Is boobs acceptable? I like boobs. You guys like boobs?
Well, boobs are okay with me. Apparently, Hunter likes boobs, so are we good with boobs?
Yeah.
Listen to the rap. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here at wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com.
Did you know you can use support a creator code, Rock and Sock, in the Fortnite item shop? That's R-O-C-K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
I just can't stand.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
That really moves. I said to you.
Welcome back, WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks everybody for joining us. Let's see. What do I want to plug? Is there anything?
Is there anything?
Tell us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so right now, but there might be later. So stay tuned. 5 in a row music free commercial cruise coming up on AM radio. Yeah. Anyway. All right, everybody. So it's time for Crown Jewel Pick'em. You know the rules by now. Get your Pick'em votes, Pick'em picks into us before the event. Now, normally it's like, okay, the event happens on Sunday, so you got until Sunday to get your picks in. Nope, nope, nope. Crown Jewel is like Friday morning, North American time. You have to have your picks in by Thursday night, no later than midnight.
For the record, Crown Jewel starts at 1 p.m. Eastern on Halloween this Thursday.
Okay, so you have to have them in by Thursday morning, no later.
Yeah, so get them in Thursday morning by 9 a.m.
There you go, Eastern time.
Eastern time.
Yes, we have to.
Eastern time.
We have to, emphasize that's 9 a.m. Eastern
time.
You can post your picks on our Facebook page, Rock.
What was that, Tim?
You can post your picks on our Facebook page, Rock.
Yeah, facebook.com/groups/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Go to facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork as well, or facebook.com/WTRSundayNight.
Yeah, it smells like Italian-style meat sauce in my house.
Wow. Okay.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm hungry because I've been making Italian-style meat sauce. That's all.
Okay, we don't need to know about you making your meat, Tim.
Anyway, never mind. Quit focusing on my meat. There's vegetables in it, too. But anyway... What was that? I don't know. Somebody puked.
Sorry. Sorry. Continue.
Why are you doing that? You don't like vegetables?
I'm not going into it. Just continue.
Okie dokie. Vegetables are good for you, Mike. You should actually have a serving every day. Eat something green. Speaking about something green, Crown Jewel. All right. We're going to take a look. We're going to give you our predictions and then let you make your own. And that's basically how I do it. If you want to play along in the chat, go ahead and post who you think is going to do it. That's perfectly fine. But don't forget, you've got to, you know, put them in the Facebook pages for it to actually count. So let's start off with a 20-man battle royal for U.S. title shots. There'll be 20 people in the battle royal. Do we have a list of how, of the people in the battle royal?
Nope.
Of course not. So, how are we going to pick somebody who wins?
Well, we know everyone else who's actually performing a Crown Jewel. So we subtract them from the main roster, and then we pick from whoever's left then.
There you go. I'm going to say that Kevin Owens wins.
Okay.
That's my pick, Mike.
I gotta say AJ retains.
Okay, we're not there yet. You gotta pick the winner of the Battle Royal.
Oh. Shit. KO.
Okay, you're going with KO too. Omega.
Last Saudi show, Kevin Owens refused to perform.
Yeah.
Do we know whether or not he's refused this one as well? Because I'm willing to bet the same reasoning still applies.
To the best of my knowledge, we don't know if he's refusing or not.
Okay, then I'm going to go with Ricochet.
Okay, that's an excellent. I like that pick. I like that pick. Okay, so the winner gets a shot at AJ Styles' U.S. title. So between Ricochet and AJ, Omega, who wins?
Oh, it's AJ, because they're not they're not going to do anything at this show.
Okay.
It's a house show that's makes ridiculous money.
Yes. All right. Mike, Kevin Owens versus AJ, who wins?
Give me my points, AJ.
Okay, there you go. What do you mean your points?
Crap. Give us our points, AJ.
And yeah, even though I call Kevin Owens as the winner of the Royal, I'm calling AJ for the winner and still U.S. title champion. So there are two matches out of the way right there because one leads into the other. Next up, we've got Mansoor versus Cesaro Omega.
Mansoor, they keep him on payroll just to let him win at these shows.
Okay, there you go. Quit lifting the curtain so high. Mike!
No.
No, forget it. That's what we do here.
Mansoor shall win for his country.
All right, yeah, and the ultimate score would be for Cesaro to beat Mansoor in Mansoor's hometown. Well, home country, whatever. But because of Saudi Arabia, WWE is not going to play by their normal rules. But yeah, we're going to make this unanimous, Mansoor.
Be hysterical, and then the next day, the Saudi royal family, you know, starts a war with Switzerland.
And Switzerland refuses to fight back because they were always neutral. Just saying. Anyway. Next matchup. Don't forget, card subject to change. It's Tag Team Turmoil Match. Tag Team World Cup Turmoil Match. You got the New Day versus the Viking Raiders versus Heavy Machinery versus the Lucha House Party versus Hawkins Ryder versus the Revival versus Gallows and Anderson. Versus Rude and Ziggler versus the B Team.
They pulled out all the stops.
Okay.
And clusterfuck match. Go ahead, Omega.
For one, it is really unfortunate that Xavier's on the poster for Crown Jewel.
Yep.
Number two, looking at this match, how must it feel to be the Colognes right now?
Pretty shitty.
Oh,
we're gonna have the biggest tag team turmoil match ever. It's like every
and
tag team we
no
got.
Cologne.
No, Primo, Epico, you stay home.
Well, it may be for good reason. You never know.
Now, it's too bad, like you were saying, it's too bad Xavier Woods is in the poster. However, that doesn't cripple New Day. They're still gonna be in it.
Oh yeah.
So. Mike, is it your turn to pick somebody?
I'm still trying to think because my bathroom wins regardless.
Well, I don't know. Depends on what you have for dinner. Your toilet could lose. Stay away from the tacos. No mess.
Yeah, that. I'm gonna go with the New Day.
Interesting. With you boys.
I mean, yes, but also, you know, him, like Xavier Woods on the poster, they're probably going to do it for him, and they're probably going to win.
Okay, fair enough. Omega?
See, there's part of me, here's the bad thing, is that the only thing that ever carried over from this, from the Saudi Arabia shows, is Shane McMahon's Best in the World title.
Yep.
Which was just to book him up as this really arrogant heel.
Mm-hmm.
And there's part of me is going, okay, that makes sense. With Xavier's injury, they might push the New Day into winning this.
Yeah.
But I could also see them using this as one of those cheap feather in the cap things for the likes of like Gallows and Anderson. So like no matter how many times they lose, they can go, but we won, you know, like we won the WWE World Cup. You know, it's just something they can say to bolster themselves when they're just looking like jobbers otherwise.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm a little bit torn on that one. I will say the New Day because of the injury and because it's a house show. It's a Saudi show. So they're probably going to give wins to more faces than anything.
Okay, fair enough. In this particular one, I'm not going to go with the sympathy vote. I'm actually picking Rude and Ziggler.
Ooh.
Little outside the box. Little outside the box. But yeah, I'm picking Rude and Ziggler to win this one. Just to throw that swerve and, you know, what else are they gonna do with it, right?
Okay.
So, yeah, there's my pick. And now you've got Hogan versus Flair, but no, we're not talking about WCW. We're talking Team Hogan, comprised of, Roman Reigns, Rusev, Ricochet, Shorty G, and Ali, taking on, Flair's team, comprised of, Randy Orton, Baron Corbin, Bobby Lashley, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Drew McIntyre. Omega.
God. I don't know. I feel like we're about to watch a pissing contest between two men too old to hold their piss.
That's pretty much what it is.
I feel like this is one of those matches just for the faces to win. Cause it's Hulk Hogan, even if he's gonna come out to real American, he's still like one of those names that the Saudi royal family actually knows. I don't know, like, there's so much of me that's not looking forward to this.
Yeah, well, you're definitely not the only one. So you're picking Team Hulk.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else to add?
For this match, a Xanax.
I was thinking Valium, but okay. Mike.
Okay. Booker T comes out, costs Hulk Hogan, Team Hogan their match, Team Flair wins. No, I'm kidding.
So Booker T is coming for you.
Yeah. The revenge of Booker T finally happens. No. Hulk Hogan, Team Hogan.
The ghost of Mean Gene is there to interview Booker T afterwards.
Oh gosh.
Hogan, I told you.
Jeez Louise. All right.
Okay, let's say Booker and Hogan are one for one on the inappropriate N-word count. Let's just leave it at that.
We could say that, right?
I was doing everything I could to, you know, not be that blunt.
Team Hogan. All right, so this is what's going to happen. Team Hogan wins. Ali is a sole survivor.
Wow. You're thinking that, huh?
Countryman hero.
Okay. Fair enough. So you're picking Team Hogan. You see, if it wasn't Saudi Arabia, well, no, let me change that. If Ali wasn't on Team Hogan, I'd pick Team Flair. Simply because being a real American doesn't really fly that well in the Middle East.
Yeah, but they love some Hulk Hogan.
But,
they love him some Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, that's pretty much the only reason.
Yeah, the only reason, right?
That I'm picking Team Hogan to win this one. Okay.
I don't see Ali being the sole survivor though.
Maybe not sole survivor.
Well, A, he's Pakistani. He's not from Saudi Arabia. And two, dude was born in Chicago.
Yeah, it, semantics. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Okay, excuse me for being culturally accurate.
Yeah, shame on you. Okay, so we're all saying Hogan, Team Hogan is going to wind up winning it. Just because they've got the ethnic name wrestling for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that matters. Forget the fact that they're like about 6,000 miles in the wrong direction. Anyway. There's a reason I posted that link. We'll get to it at the end of it there, Omega.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Oh no, we're talking about this tonight real quick, Mike.
You sure? Yeah.
But yeah, I know you got shit for that. You can expand on it, next Sunday, but, I've got a question for you concerning that. That's all. Anyway, moving on. The next match, Braun Strowman versus Tyson Fury. Jeez, there's something original, a boxer versus a wrestler at a wrestling show.
My bathroom.
I hate to say it, but you gotta pick a winner.
My toilet.
No, that doesn't count. Because your toilet
there's no such, okay.
Was in the World
For
Cup
starters,
oil match.
Given the existence toilets have, there is no such thing as a toilet that wins.
A toilet goes over.
You don't necessarily have to win to go over. just go watch Mike Russell. Ooh.
Hey, let's not do
burn.
That. Let's not do that. I had a good night tonight, so let's not do that.
It's all good.
Crap. I mean, Bork Laser, so. No, I'm sorry.
Ron Tyson.
Oh, okay. Sweet. Tyson.
Okay. Omega.
You cannot quantify how few fucks I give about this match. It's going to be Tyson. It's going to be a shit show, but it's going to be Tyson.
Yeah. What has to happen for this to be a pleasant surprise and you're like, oh, that wasn't a shitty match?
A bombing raid.
Ooh. That just brings up really bad jokes about terrorism that I'm not even going to touch.
There is no way this is going to be a good match. This is a boxer you train to wrestle in a week.
Yeah. Well, hey, they tried to train, what's his name, Connor, to box.
Hmm.
I was going to say Connor McDavid, but that's not his name. That's a hockey player in Edmonton.
Yeah. They also told Bart Gunn to box. And he did fine. And then they put him up against a real boxer, and he got his face caved in.
And he had his ass handed to him, and reconstructive surgery scheduled.
Because that's what happens when you try to transplant one from another in such a short span.
Yeah. Well, I just see this as Tyson Fury's going to forget himself and legit smack Braun. Like I just see the adrenaline taking over, and Tyson forgetting to pull his punch. And actually legit laying Braun out. Cause let's face it, Braun's a big man. He's very strong. He can throw a punch. I don't know if he can take one. Tyson Fury's your goddamn heavyweight champion for Christ's sake.
Well, Tyson Fury, if you haven't seen-
He's a bad man!
Well, okay, yes. But also, they have shown, you know, he can take hits, he can take bumps. They did a backstage promo of him at the Performance Center. And him and Braun had a little altercation. Yeah, he can take some stuff. He can take some stuff.
Well, basically, we're all saying that they're going to give the win to Tyson Fury, right?
Sad to say, yes.
Now, you realize this is not the last clash these guys are going to be having with each other. If Tyson Fury wins in Saudi Arabia, does that not just put the bow on this? Or would they save a Braun Strowman victory for their home country? Or would it be a case of Tyson Fury is wronged one way or the other, and he wants revenge?
Wants revenge. Possibly.
Okay, so I'm saying Braun goes over in this one. Because it makes more sense for Tyson to lose and come back. Because if Tyson wins, there's no reason for this feud to keep going, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but logic.
True.
Okay. And now the one that I'm interested in only because of who I want to win. I'm talking about the WWE Championship, Brock Lesnar defending against Cain Velasquez, Omega.
Ooh.
Wonderful. We have a part-timer versus a one-timer.
Yep.
We're just going to keep it at that.
One thing that makes this even remotely potentially interesting.
I hate this show. I absolutely hate this show. The matches are worthless. We're booking non-wrestlers because, hey, you idiots can't draw well enough. So we're going to bring in Hulk Hogan and Rick, I'm suing you over the man, Flair, because your asses don't sell well enough despite the millions we've invested in all of you.
Yeah. This is a really bad pay-per-view. Well, I'm sorry, WWE house show special event. But this is put together for the Saudi Arabians. Like you said, it's insane fucking crazy money WWE is raking in from this. Just to go over there.
Do I really have to answer this? I'm sorry.
I fucking hate this show.
I'll make it as painless as I can. Omega, who does WWE book to win?
That's a worse answer right now.
It's going to be Velasquez by DQ because he's actually sticking around.
Yeah.
You know, and he actually wants a WWE career and they'll continue this because, hey, if it's not Saudi's money that we're sucking dick for, it's Fox. And Fox wants sports stars at the top of the card. So it's Brock Lesnar and Kane Velasquez until SmackDown's ratings fall far enough into the shitter to get canceled.
And moved back to USA. Thank goodness USA is in existence. So you're picking Kane by DQ. All right.
Uh-huh.
Mike.
I have to.
Yes, goddammit, we've established that.
Kane Velasquez via disqualification.
You know what, I think all three of us are in the same goddamn boat because that's my answer too. The only reason why I could even think this might be an interesting match is because Kane Velasquez legit beat up Brock Lesnar. And let's face it, people want to see it happening again. Because Brock Lesnar. And who better than the one guy Brock Lesnar's legit scared of? And of course we gotta get revenge for, Ray and, Dominic, right? So, Kane lays a beating and ignores the ref. The ref counts five and rings the bell. And Brock is beaten right the fuck up. At the end of this match. That's my prediction. Does that work for you guys?
Yeah, we can say that.
Okay. And then we've got the final match of the night. The Universal Championship falls count anywhere. Seth Rollins versus Bray Wyatt. There has to be a winner. There must be a winner.
You okay?
And based on how they've booked The Fiend, it ain't going to be the fans. Mike, I stole that. So you couldn't do it? Now go.
The question is, will they really put, will they put it on Bray Wyatt? Here? I think he's gonna get the title, but here? False candidate, there must be a winner.
Spoiler alert, they're on different brands. He's not going to win the belt.
We have seen worse. So Seth is winning. Seth's winning, and he's winning clean. Well,
there
of course.
You go. Okay, Omega, you kind of sort of gave away your answer.
I still think there's going to be some weird shenanigans that leads this to be a no contest.
Because
for whatever,
there must be a winner.
No, it says cannot be stopped under any circumstances. Mm-hmm. If the Fiend pulls his disappearing bullshit, then they can't continue. Because you can't pin the Fiend. You ruin this character even further than they already have. The one thing that they are trying to do is protect his invulnerability, which is the point of having him take, you know, 1.5 million curb stomps.
Yeah, I still say they've totally ruined his character, and I've given my explanations. But...
Oh, no, they have.
Yep.
They created the best thing they've created in the last 10 years, and then they completely fucked it up with the second match he was in.
They rolled it in shit and rolled it in corn.
Thing, it took me 10 seconds to figure out how to book that and actually make it work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It took me 2 seconds. I'm not trying to outdo you, but it took me 2 seconds.
Okay.
What happens, Bray wins the title at Hell in a Cell. There, fixed.
Yeah. Bray wins the Universal title easily at Hell in the Cell. Yep. Bray gets drafted to SmackDown. You can't take the title with you, so it goes vacant. And the Fiend goes absolutely nuclear on SmackDown because he had his belt stripped away from him.
And then all of a sudden, you've got one hell of a situation where you could put Bray against Brock. Imagine Brock doing all of the F5s and all of the German suplexes and landing 1 million of them on Bray. And just as he goes to pin Bray, Bray sits up at 1 every time.
I mean, that kind of booking is custom made for going up against Brock, who only knows 3 moves.
Mm-hmm. It should be a no-brainer. They're not going to do that because they have fucked up the character.
I'm saying no contest.
Okay. Fair enough. We got one Kane by nefarious means, or rather Bray Wyatt by nefarious means. Seth Rollins. Clean. No finish. I'm saying Seth finally pins Bray and further fucks up his character before he goes to SmackDown. Only because it would only make sense for him to win the title and then have to vacate it. If there's any logic left in the WWE universe, that's what will happen. I have no faith. None whatsoever. Bray should win and have to vacate. Omega and I have gone over this for your benefit, listening audience. But because it's WWE and they love screwing things up, I'm calling Seth as the winner. And that is Crown Jewel's Pick'em. We're essentially done everything that we've planned to do for tonight's program. I just have one question for you, Mike. And this is setting you up for next Sunday. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Is that shirt racist?
Racist ain't even the word. And it's pissing me. Well, no, I can't. I have to wait until I. Yeah, go ahead.
If I can.
Go ahead.
Go for it.
I say it is not racist because there was no intention behind it, but it's okay. Ignorant as fuck.
Yeah, it is. And apparently there was something released by WWE, you know, shirt makers, and they said that ACH agreed to it. To the design and how it was done, so.
Okay. Now, both of you guys are American, and I'm not putting myself above you or anything like that. I'm putting myself off to the side on this one. Because race is a bigger deal in the United States than it is in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't grow up seeing a black person and thinking, oh, that's a black person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's just the way that you know, we were raised here.
Mm-hmm.
And the environment we grew up in and stuff like that. Canada is a multicultural country. Mm-hmm. And it's just about the most multicultural country I have ever experienced.
Right.
Okay. The United States is a melting pot. Everybody in, boom. And then you get these people thinking that the color of your skin dictates your level of intelligence, which, I'm sorry, in my opinion, is just the biggest bunch of bullshit on the planet. So the both of you looking at this T-shirt, and everybody listening is wondering what the hell we're talking about. You'll find out next Sunday. So both of you think that this T-shirt is ignorant as fuck. Whereas, I didn't think it was.
Mm.
Now, I'm sure that we're all getting a similar idea of what it is coming across as some kind of big tooth, big mouth grin. Right? Mm-hmm. Essentially. Right?
Right.
Now, with me, I see something along the lines of Joker.
Hmm.
When I look at that logo on that T-shirt, that just changed your perspective a little bit, didn't it, Omega?
No.
No? Oh, okay. Because you said, like it was an aha moment or an oh moment.
I don't know what you heard. I didn't say a thing.
I heard somebody say, Was that Mike?
That was me.
Okay, sorry. That changed your perspective a bit, did it, Mike? I'm sorry,
bit.
I thought it was Omega who said it.
It's like WWE, you know, releasing a statement. ACH agreed to it. I mean, it's weird to me.
Well, we're not gonna get any further into this until next Sunday night. Because I've got a very offensive image to show everybody next Sunday night. But, Mike, you've got a whole week.
Just wait till Twitch finds out, and it'll be the last episode of WTA or Sunday night.
There you go. We're allowed to use it.
No, we're not. We're not putting that image on our screen. Thank you very much.
This is news. News.
Nope. I am not.
I never said that we're putting it on the screen. Shut up.
And I'm stating for a fact now, it's not going up on the screen.
I never said it was going up on the screen.
You said to show everybody. We're not putting it on the screen.
We're not putting the image on the screen. No.
Thank you.
When I say I've got a very offensive image to show everybody, I meant in Skype chat, guys.
You gotta be more specific.
In the chat room, my apologies. I didn't mean to mislead you. But this is something that, where I can see some people might get the idea, and I'll give you that for comparison. But we're gonna, Mike, I want you to, you've got a whole thing for this for next week?
Mm-hmm.
All right, because I'm gonna let you just tear it apart and go to town. So next week's show is half booked already.
You know what? Yeah, you're right.
Yep. So there it is. I think that we're done, except for the plug-in. Programming note, everybody. North America reverts to standard time next Sunday. What does that mean for WTR Sunday night? It's going to feel an hour later, but it's still the regular time of 8 p.m. Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern. That being said, don't forget tomorrow night immediately following Ross Raw Post Show.
The Raw Post will be live 11 p.m. Eastern.
Hey, is Fortnite back?
There'll be a special edition of Fortnite with friends probably on Halloween at 10 Eastern. There will be no live edition of the Rack this week.
Okay, so I will not plug the multi-time multi-award winning The Rack radio show with the multi-time multi-award winning host, Lindsay Ward.
We won't
Thursday
be
live. Thursday night's 10 o'clock Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We won't be live, but there'll be two episodes of The Rack this week.
Two episodes in podcast form.
In podcast form. One, to review WWE 2K20. That should be available on Tuesday, and probably Sunday we'll have a podcast of the WWE Crown Jewel recap. So check it all out, RackRadioShow.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at RackRadioShow.
There you go. I'm thinking about maybe going trick-or-treating on Thursday night. I don't know.
But yeah, Fortnite with Friends, Thursdays and Saturdays. Plus, there's WWE 2K20 content that's been on the channel all week long and will be more next week, probably during the day tomorrow. So follow, subscribe, twitch.tv/WTRLive.
There you go. And of course, on Thursday at 1 o'clock Eastern, if you're not at work or in school and have absolutely nothing to do, and you don't have like a kitchen full of dishes that you need to get done, or a bedroom you need to clean up, or laundry that needs to be taken care of. If you don't have to wash your car in the snow, you can watch Crown Jewel on the WWE Network.
Which means you guys have 4 days to watch the show and review
it. Yes, because we're going to review the goddamn thing.
On Sunday. Yeah, you have 4 days to watch
the show. That's going
to
be very painful. What time is the replay?
I don't know. It airs live at 1 p.m. Eastern. Go check the WWE Network. I don't know.
Yeah, like that's going to tell me anything. So there you go.
Google.
Saturday night, midnight, is you're supposed to say, what?
Google.
What? Google it. There you go. Yeah, Saturday night's midnight issue, as close as I get to another edition of the wild, the wacky, the unusual. They're all a bunch of phantom menaces. CB Radio.
Okay, whatever. Check out last night's episode.
Whatever.
I just, not even. We had Teddy sing the national anthem and just all the second to fourth verse. Here's video at Lone Jobber. GreaterThanGreatDebate.com, SeaWorldLive.com, midnight-ish every Saturday night.
There you go. Yeah. And, of course, next Sunday at our regularly scheduled time, 8 o'clock Mountain or 10 o'clock Eastern, depending on your time zone preferences, another edition of WTR Sunday Night. And we will be reviewing the Crown Jewel.
Yes, you will be. 10 p.m. Eastern. At WTR Sunday Night on Facebook and Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, you know what? I'm just looking at the WWE Network for Thursday, October 31st, and they do not have it listed in the program guide.
Oh, shucks.
They don't?
Shucks.
12:59 is 205 Live.
Oh, shucks.
Seriously, and then at 1:59 is WrestleMania Rewind. They don't have it listed. So I'm going through it here.
Hey, Omega, you got stuff to plug?
Yeah, I can plug.
Plug, please.
Great, so if you want to follow the rest of the stuff I'm doing over the internet, you can follow me at TJ Reviews over on Facebook, but everywhere else you can find me under the name TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is the YouTube with over 1,000 videos for the content. And for a little bit of extra content YouTube does not like, you can check it out over at TJOmega.net.
Mike, plug your stuff. Go.
Hit me up on the Twitter page, the WTR Oreo. Hit me up on my Facebook page, my pro wrestling page, Ren Blackheart. Look up on my Twitch, Stu Heyman. I'm doing the WWE 2K20, my career mode. Yeah, all right.
I didn't do any plugs. Follow me at Flames.
Hey, good night, everybody.
Sports and jokes and stuff like that. Follow me on Twitter at Voicing Sanity for my political side. There, my plugs are done too.
Use creator code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop. Say good night, Tim.
Good night, Tim.
The legend's right. We burn it out a mile wide with ashes fall. The legend's right. Legend's right.
WildTalkRadio.com.